question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
Dane from Dural, you can start us off tonight. Hello.
Oh, good. Good morning, Suzanne. I'm happy to hear you're back. I only have just gotten back on to listening. I've been busy for a while, so my thoughts have been with you the whole time that you've been gone anyway.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Dane. Thank you for that. How have you been? What's happening in Dural?
Well, I've got a little Christmas tree place that I run in further down from Dural in Middle Dural. And yeah, so we've been busy with that and finishing up the year.
Right, so you're selling the Christmas trees at this time of year, are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And do people already start buying in late November, or when's the peak period for people coming and buying them?
Well, most places, they go and tag them earlier. My dad basically never wanted to do that. So basically we just sell from this weekend on. Yeah. They last pretty well, but yeah.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas. Dane's selling the Merry Christmas to us. All right, Dane, question one.
I'm loving it too.
Good. Look, what name was used on early maps to refer to the hypothetical southern continent that was believed to exist?
Terra Nullius, maybe?
Oh, it's not Terra Nullius, no.
Yeah. All right.
You're halfway there, but not
willing.
Love
it here,
Mac. You too. It's always nice to speak to you, Dane. Who's got it? David and Tana and Adrian. I'll pay that for you. Stuart in Victor Harbour. Yeah. Hi, Stuart.
Suzanne, g'day. It's nice to have you back.
Thanks,
well,
Stuart.
I thought you'd be with myself. And hang on, it's not right, is it? I stuffed it. Excuse me. My thoughts have been with... No. Hey, you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm all right,
Stuart. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
What a self-absorbed person. Oh, I just try to be polite, but I've stuffed it up.
No, fear not, Stuart. Fear not. You're an old and trusted friend of nightlife, I would say.
Well, not trusted, I'd say I'm mildly... Mildly erratic. Anyway,
you said it, not me.
A fleeting moment of insight, Suzanne.
Oh dear! What name was used on early maps to refer to the hypothetical southern continent that was believed to exist?
Is that Terra Australis?
Terra Australis. I mean, Technically, they actually originally called it Terra Australis Incognita, but we're accepting Terra Australis, which was unknown southern land.
What does the incognita mean?
Unknown, I think. Terra Australis was southern land. Incognita was the unknown bit.
I've floated around it for years.
Yeah,
I hit the West Coast, the Dutch did, and then I'm sure the Indonesians knew it was there. Well, they must have known. Yeah. And the Papua New Guineans would have known it was there. The Aborigines knew it was there.
Well, that's true. Just unknown to the people who were making those maps. So the name appeared on old maps that theorised there must be a great southern continent to balance the land masses of the northern hemisphere. And it was originally thought Australia was connected to the same landmass, so Australia and Antarctica together. But once Antarctica was discovered as a distinct place, the name Australia was left to us. And then Antarctica, obviously opposite of Arctic, got its own name.
Yes. I suppose all those, they wanted land down the bottom to keep the, otherwise the whole thing would start spinning around, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know.
Stuart.
Anyway, carry on.
I will. Question two.
Thank you.
Who was the first person to reach the South Pole?
I think it was Amundsen, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what his first name is?
Oh, God. Oh, I can't think of his truth.
Okay. I mean, I think I'll pay that too.
Oh, I can't think of it, Suzanne.
I'm going to let you have it. Yeah, oh, Roald Amundsen.
Oh, Roald Amundsen, yeah. I was thinking of Roald Oates, but I couldn't quite get it.
Yeah, he made it to the South Pole on December the 14th, 1911, using dog sleds to get there.
Just before Falcon Scott, four buggers. Well, what are you doing down there anyway, really?
Well, funnily enough, Stuart, question three was, 5 weeks later, who'd led the second expedition to reach the South Pole?
Falcon Scott.
You've just gone and answered it already. You're doing very nicely. Yes, it was Robert Falcon Scott. And we know the story about his party perishing on their return journey.
Crikey, what a fiasco. That would be just, I suppose you'd be that cold, you wouldn't know anything about it after a while. You'd be numb, wouldn't you?
Oh, you can only hope so.
Well, really. You'd know enough to know that you're going to perish.
Yeah. Now, who's keeping up on the SMS here? You're doing your practicing. David from Mount Waverley said, I'm going to have some practicing tonight to get me into shape for next weekend's, the start of next weekend's text challenge. Yep, Rosa and Shep and Maria and Adrian and David, you all had Amundsen. And then Adrian, you came up with Robert Scott. So do you, Diana and Diane, Marina. And David, although technically Stuart told us the answer before I'd even asked him the question.
He drives a Ford, Robert Scott.
What?
He drove a Ford. That's why his middle name's Falcon.
Oh, my goodness, Stuart. Okay. Question four.
What do you have to do for training with your fingers for an S text? It's just training.
Just get your...
digital. Far out. I tell you
what. Just seeing how long it takes to get the text through. Checking, if your connection's okay. Should you be listening on analog? Will it get through if you're listening on digital on the app? I don't know. Anyway, we can let David give us some insights into his training secrets if he likes. Okay, Stuart. The Antarctic Treaty was signed in 1959, recognizing the continent as a place of peace and what?
Peace and 1950, not peace.
Peace and?
Crikey. Peace. Oh, just give me a minute. I can't cheat because I'm just too stupid, but I'll give it a go. Peace and... liberty.
Levity?
Well, why not? Sound like something from Superman, doesn't
peace
it?
Peace and levity.
Levity. No, liberty, not levity.
Oh, liberty.
levity. I mean, the world's a joke, but it's not right, is it?
It's not liberty, and it's also not levity.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Stuart. Always, usually nice to chat to you. Adrian? I mean, yes, I'm going to pay that one. And Rosa. Hannah and Shep, yeah, I think you're on the money too there. 1-300-800-222. The Antarctic Treaty was signed in 1959. It recognised the continent as a place of peace and what? 1-300-800-222. Kim from Manham. Greetings, Kim.
Suzanne, good evening to you.
Good evening. Yeah, peace and what?
Yes.
Not levity or liberty.
No, no. How about scientific exploration?
Yeah. I'll give you that. It's science.
Really?
So I'll give you scientific exploration.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Suzanne.
Right. That's you, Kim. Now, question five. Actually, no, I'm going to make this one question five. In 1915, Ernest Shackleton's ship became trapped in ice in the Weddell Sea and sank. What was the name of this ship?
Oh, crikey. I know they've been down to it and found it again.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago they found it.
Oh, yes, yes. I have no idea, but I will say Explorer.
It was not Explorer. Thanks, what? Kim.
Thank you, Suzanne. Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye. Michael is in Inglewood. Hello to you, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, doing very well. Now, we're on to question five in our polar exploration-themed history quiz tonight. In 1915, Ernest Shackleton's ship became trapped in ice in the Weddell Sea and sank. It was, as Kim rightly said, found just, I think it was 2022, perhaps they found it. But what was it called?
That's a good question. Yeah, maybe we should ask those... comic penguins, with all that levity on Antarctica. They jump on it over crowd and make it sink. I can't remember. I want to say Endeavour, but that was Cook's. I'll say Endeavour.
No, it's not Endeavour.
No, thank you anyway.
But I know why you said that. So keep listening, Michael. All right, that's Michael in Inglewood. Yes, David, Ray in the Bay. Shep, Harry, Diana. What about Nicholas in Bendigo? 1-300-800-222 if you want to be part of our polar exploration and polar history quiz tonight. Hello, Nicholas.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. Nicholas, in 1915, Ernest Shackleton's ship became trapped in ice in the Weddell Sea and sank. What was its name?
Can I buy a bow?
No, you may not.
Yeah, I don't have much knowledge, but I was on the road, so I thought I'd call in just to keep myself occupied, but I'll have to pass.
Do you want to have a guess?
I don't even know a name to begin with. The Red October.
Oh, nice guess, but no, it's not the Red October. All right, thanks, Nicholas. 1-300-800-222. Jane, Linda, you've got it too. Love to have you on the phones if possible, those of you who know it. 1-300-800-222. Roy in Wonthaggi, good evening.
G'day, Suzanne.
Hi. Do you know what Shackleton's ship was called, the one that became trapped in ice in the Weddell Sea and sank in 1915?
What I wanted to tell you was it's Matthew Flinders created the name Terra Australis in 1810 when he published a book in England just before he died. He died because he was incarcerated on a little island on the way to Africa by the French.
Was that Mauritius? I think he was.
And you got the name for Australia from an island in Vanuatu, the large island called Espirito Santo, del Austria, and a little E, L-I-A-L-I-A. So it's Espirito Santo del Austria E Lia.
Wow, I have never heard that before. That is very interesting.
Nobody knows this stuff.
Ah. Well, Roy, we should look into that a bit more and maybe do a bit more on it. But thank you for that. Can you tell me though the name of Ernest Shackleton's ship?
No.
No.
The original name for Australia is the Great Southern Land, like the Ice House song.
Yeah. All right, Roy, so if you can't answer that one, thank you so much. I will move along. If you want to be part of the history quiz, 1-300-800-222. Elle's got it. Yet, Lynn, that's it. Cheryl, Robin, Karen, Baronia. Yep, you're all on the money. 1-300-800-222. Tom from Toowoomba. Hello, Tom.
Well, hello, but I'm actually from Allora, if you know where that is, Suzanne.
Sorry, from where? Allora?
Allora. Allora.
I don't know where that is.
It's just south of Toowoomba.
Okay.
But I heard your name, and Shackleton's ship was called the Endurance.
It was the Endurance. Well done. Now, do you know much about what happened after the Endurance sank? Because my next question, question six, is about that.
Right.
Okay. After abandoning the Endurance, on which desolate island did Shackleton's crew camp for months awaiting rescue?
Okay, on the the island. I thought they were stuck actually on Antarctica.
No, the boat, Shackleton. The boat sank. They were in their little boats. They managed to get to a terribly...
to Elephant Island.
Yes, Elephant Island. That's what I'm looking for.
Shackleton got to Elephant Island,
yes. Yes, okay. Yeah, and then he left some of the crew there and sailed off to South Georgia Island to get help.
Yeah.
Okay, that is question six.
Six.
Question seven. What's the name of the first Australian research base established on Antarctica?
Is it Mawson?
Yes, it is Mawson Station, which was established in 1954. Question... Where am I? Okay, question eight. A plane operated by which airline crashed on Mount Erebus on Ross Island, Antarctica, in 1979, Tom?
Air New Zealand.
That was Air New Zealand. Indeed. Yeah, terrible tragedy. 237 people, 20 passengers, 20 crew members killed. It's considered the worst civil disaster in New Zealand's history. Question nine, Tom. Which country sent the expedition that successfully sighted the Antarctic landmass for the first time?
Okay, can you say that again, please?
Which country sent the expedition that successfully sighted the Antarctic landmass for the first time?
Which country sent the expedition? I'd say the United States.
It is not the United States, Tom.
Well, thank you very much. We had a good run.
We did. Thank you for playing.
We did.
Lovely to talk to you. Yes, if you're in Western Australia, I know you are going to be losing the quiz because there are some emergency fire warnings that I think are coming at quarter past and quarter to the hour. So we are aware of those, but I know we need to keep you updated if you're in that part of WA with some of those warnings that are going to air. Barbara from Falconbridge, we meet again.
Yes, we do.
Could this be your 101st appearance on the quiz or maybe your 260th?
You know, I couldn't estimate that, to be quite honest with you. I'd have to really think back, yeah. Because some weeks I don't ring, you know, because I'm just too tired or something. Yeah. I listen, but I don't always ring, you know. So, yeah. I'll give it an estimate next time I talk
okay,
to you.
Okay, you go and do some sums.
I'll do my hard maths. Yes.
But I wonder who would hold the record for the person who has rung the most times in nightlife history. You probably want someone who was almost with Tony from the beginning, rang Tony every night, and has continued to ring three times a week.
Yeah, or that lady that's in the nursing home now, Duchess.
Oh, Emily.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Emily was around in the early days.
I don't know either.
I don't think she was. I mean, Stuart.
I think I was a bit busy in those days and I used to go to sleep. I didn't listen to it.
Stuart would have a few calls under his belt, that's for sure. He's been ringing since Tony's day. Yeah. Stuart, if you're listening, try and figure out how many times you think you've rung the nightlife challenge. Barbara, question nine. Which country sent the expedition that successfully sighted the Antarctic landmass for the first time? It was not the United States.
Oh, look, this will be a guess, of course. the Netherlands?
No, it is not the Netherlands.
That's all right.
Thanks, Barbara. All right, well, shall we talk next week?
Yes, oh, yes, for sure.
Okay, talk to you then.
I had just come out of hospital, so...
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I was only in for a day because I'm an ex-registered nurse, so they kind of trusted me to go home with all sorts of treatments and things. But, yeah.
Right, are you okay? You feeling okay?
Yeah, no, I'm okay enough to ring you.
Oh, that's right. If you're well enough to quiz, that's what we need. All right, thanks, Barbara.
Be going.
Okay. All right, we'll talk to you next week. 1-300-800-222. Has anyone got this one? No. Oh, Grant. Grant, you are it so far on the SMS who's got this one correct. Tony in Ballarat. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Suzanne. I've been napping and I'm very, very about this one. Of course, I've got the right answer, though. Russia.
Russia is correct. That's right. James Cook was the first to circumnavigate Antarctica, but he didn't actually see it. It was a Russian called Fabian Bellingshausen, whose 1820 expedition is credited with the first sighting of Antarctica. Nicely done.
Yes, it is. Over and out, or? over and keep going.
Oh, you can keep going. You are in question 10. Now, we talked earlier about the Antarctic Treaty being signed in 1959. This is the one that recognised the continent as a place of peace and science. But how many countries signed the original treaty?
I'll go 12, Suzanne.
12 is correct, Tony. Wow, you know your stuff. Was that a guess or did you nut that out?
Completely guess, Suzanne. Have to be honest.
Very well done. Yeah, not all the countries that signed it had territorial claims, but many were active in the region at the time. And the countries that signed it were Argentina, Australia, Belgium, Chile, France, Japan, New Zealand, Norway, South Africa, the Soviet Union, the UK and the United States. But since then, another 46 countries have signed the Antarctic Treaty. So that was question 10. Question 11. In what year was the first complete land expedition to the North Pole achieved? It is multiple choice, and the options are 1953,
1959, 1968, or 1974, Tony?
So the question again is, in what year was the first complete land expedition to the North Pole achieved? And the options are 53, 59, 68, or 74.
I'll go for the same year as the treaty for South Pole. That's Antarctica was signed, 59.
It is not 59.
Yeah.
All right, we'll rule that one out. Thank you, Tony.
Yes, please. Yeah.
All right, you're a good font of knowledge on all things Antarctic. Joe from Mudgee. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Zen. How are you going?
Yeah, well, how's Mudgee this evening?
Oh, it's a bit chilly, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, a bit weird for this time of year, but...
Yeah. Okay, so our question is, question 11, in what year was the first complete land expedition to the North Pole achieved? We've ruled out 58. We are left with 53, 68, and 74.
Complete stab in the dark, let's say 53.
It is not 53. Other people along the line will thank you, Joe.
No worries. Thank you, Suzanne.
This is the history quiz on Nightlife. It's all about polar exploration tonight. I'd love you to be part of it.
This summer, have a safe one by learning your ABCs. A is for action plan. B is for be safe. C is for connect. Find your local ABC radio station. Go to abc.net.au/emergency.
Neil from Essendon, you are the next one up to play the Nightlife History Quiz. Hi, Neil.
Greetings, Suzanne. Are you keeping well?
I am well, yes, Neil. Are you? How's life in Essendon?
Not too bad. Wet. And am I allowed to boast something? I travel on the metro tunnel train today.
Ooh, and what did you think?
I would prefer Sydney's. Because it goes a lot further.
How far does the one in Melbourne go at the moment?
I think it's 7 kilometres off. Yeah, 7 kilometres of two tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Where the one in Sydney is, well, about 29 kilometres of two tunnels.
Mm. And are there plans to extend it?
The metro tunnel? No.
Oh, is that's it? The government's saying that's what you get.
Well, that's for tunnel number one.
Right.
There is a proposal for tunnel number two, which would sort of go northeast, southwest through Melbourne.
Mm. Anyway, was the ride smooth though, Neil? What did you think of the onboard haberdashery?
Absolutely fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent.
Absolutely smooth.
I travelled two stops on the Sydney Metro today. So look, we've both travelled the Metro. Now, in what year was the first complete land expedition to the North Pole achieved? Was it 68 or 74?
Oh, we've knocked out 53, have we?
We did knock out 53.
Oh, I'm going for 74.
Ah! Ba-bum! Another one bites the dust.
Suzanne.
Thanks, Neil. Happy metro riding. Tony and Catherine, good evening, Tony.
G'day. So do I get that by default now? Or
is it?
It almost doesn't seem fair, does it?
Is it 1968 or is it 1968?
Well, it has to be. I must say, when the previous caller said the other 1950s thing, and I was thinking I would have said 1968, but of course you don't need to believe me.
Well, you got it by default either way. So, yeah, the first claimed complete land expedition to the North Pole was in 1909 with a guy called Robert Peary. This claim, however, is disputed and lacks definitive proof. So the first undisputed complete land expedition was led by someone called Ralph Plaisted. And he and his team used snowmobiles with air support, obviously across the ice to the North Pole in 1968.
Right. On that note too, if I can jump in, there was a previous caller mentioned something about Espiritu Santo in Vanuatu, and he's not quite right about that because the first – I know because I'm actually a dual citizen. I'm a citizen of Vanuatu, so I know the history quite well that – the first Spanish explorer, whose name almost eludes me now, Del Queros, he arrived in 1606 on that island of Vanuatu, and he thought he was on the Great Southern Land. So the name existed before that, you know, Terra Australis.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Okay. So he gave it that long Spanish name. It was Espiritu Santo, bloody blah, you know, it was Terra Australis. Anyway. So there's, yeah, you said you were going to look into it,
yes.
So I recommend you could do that because it is an interesting story, but it's not quite as he was describing
okay.
it.
Well, thank you for that, Tony. That's good to hear. So what, do you spend part of your year in Vanuatu and part in Catherine, or how does that work?
Well, no, I spent the last 12 years over there, and I came back to Australia for the first time in 12 years just at the end of last year, and I've ended up coming to Catherine from Townsville, so... Here I am.
All right, and you and Catherine for the foreseeable future then?
I think so, yeah, for quite a few years now. I've picked up a job here and so on. I won't bore you with the details, but, you know, I still have a connection to Vanuatu very strongly, but I'll probably go back there for a visit next year or something like that, you know.
Yeah. All right, Tony, question 12. What Antarctic first did Richard E. Byrd complete in 1929?
Antarctic first. Did he climb the mountain that the plane crashed into?
He did not climb a mountain. No.
All right.
So, thanks, Tony.
All right. Thanks.
All right. You had a promising start, but we must leave it there.
No worries.
Steve in Leicester. Hello.
Hi, Suzanne. Uh-huh. I'm better as always.
And you. What Antarctic first did Richard E. Byrd complete in 1929? What was he the first person to do when it came to Antarctica?
He flew over Antarctica.
I mean, what spot in particular did he fly over? Yes, he flew over the South Pole. Nicely done. So that's.
I was just thinking about frequent callers.
Yes.
I think the lovely June from Portland would be up there.
She would, because she was a very frequent caller to Tony's show.
Yeah, and everyone's show, to be
yeah.
honest.
Yeah, but back in the day, you know, Tony would have people on five nights a week. So if June was part of that crowd, which I think she was, she must have put hundreds of calls in a year. Yeah.
It's just lovely to think of her anyway. She
yeah, it is, isn't it? I know. I do miss her. She'd often ring up in the history quiz when nobody else could get the question and would know it. Yeah. Right, Steve, question 13. In 1958, which US submarine became the first ship to cross the North Pole under the ice?
Okay. Let me think of Jules Verne. the Nautilus.
Yes, it is the Nautilus.
Yes, Jules Verne.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. You got it. Yeah. And the USS Skate was the first that started crossing under ice, or it actually surfaced at the North Pole. It did that in 1959. I guess there mustn't have been ice there when they did that, or they couldn't have surfaced.
That would be a bit hard.
Would have been.
Deploy the drill.
Oh, dear. Okay. On which Australian note does Sir Douglas Mawson appear?
Well, he used to appear on the $100 note.
Yes. Does he not anymore?
No.
Doesn't? When did that happen?
Oh, they changed all of them.
Oh, I've missed that somehow.
When Henry Lawson changed to Banjo Paterson and with the polymer notes, they changed everything.
Mm.
Or changed everyone, I should say.
Yes, of course, Mawson was Australia's greatest polar explorer, known for a remarkable survival tale after one particular inland journey to Antarctica when his two companions died and left him to make a 320-kilometre solo trek back to base. He made it back and then discovered that his ship had left for home just hours before. It's got a Burke and Wills kind of ring to it, that story. Meant another winter in Antarctica. And then when he got back to civilization, he was knighted. And then, as you say, spent some time on the $100 note. Steve, question 15. Now, if we go back to the Scott expedition of 1912, Captain Lawrence Oates was suffering from frostbite and gangrene, and he's remembered for his famous last words as he left his tent in an effort to save the rest of the party. So I want you to complete the rest of this sentence, which were alleged to be his last words. I am just going outside.
Something along the lines of, I'll be back in a while.
Not exactly. I mean, along the lines, but they're not the exact words that I'm looking for, Steve. All right. I will talk to you again.
Thank you.
All right. See you, Steve. If you know that one, 1-300-800-222. Hello, Boris in Glebe.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi. Bob, you're the first in with this exactly right. Adrian, I would pay it, except you've got one of the words not quite right. So, Boris, you're familiar with Captain Lawrence Oates down on the Scott expedition. So, as he left the tent, basically to get himself lost in the blizzard so he'd stop holding everybody back, he said, I'm just going outside.
Yes, I might be some time.
Yes. I've got maybe, but I think might and may are interchangeable. Yes, I'm just going outside and maybe some time.
And, Suzanne,
yes.
One quick comment. The reason they took Mawson off the $100 note was for the first 10 years of our magnificent new decimal currency, they only had men on the notes. They had a male on both sides. And after 10 years, someone pointed out, where are the women? So with red faces, they changed all the notes and to put a man on one side and a woman on the other. And so the new $100 note has got Dame Nellie Melba on one side and General Monash on the other. That's the $100 one.
See, that shows you how little I'm handling a $100 note. I don't think I remembered who
was on it. Only drug dealers handle $100 notes. No one else has seen them for about 10 years.
That's true. Thanks, Boris.
And most $100 notes have got traces of cocaine on them too.
Yeah, oh, I have heard that. Yeah, I thought the 20s were renowned for that, though.
Oh, they are. Well, I'm not that familiar as you are.
just something I've heard.
Oh, I see.
I have no experience. Now, who had I maybe sometime? A few of you did. Bob, you had it. Shep, Ray in the Bay, Rosa, Harry in the Bay. Paul in North Fitzroy, maybe sometime, Frank in Mount Evelyn, Jane from Homebush, Baronia, you had that one too. Right, Boris, where are we? That was 15, so this will be 16. US polar adventurer Anne Bancroft and Norwegian Liv Arnesen became the first women to cross Antarctica by what means?
Oh, never heard of this one. A Munston did it with a dog team. They must have done it just purely on foot without a dog team.
Not on foot.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Boris.
See ya.
Good to talk to you. Oh, well, here's someone who's rung the nightlife quiz probably hundreds of times. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Suzanne. Probably because, this Tony, we used to get a lot of calls in a short time. Very disappointed it was shortened to 3 a week or whatever.
Yeah. So, Brian, when did you start calling?
1997.
So nightlife was still already 8 or 9 years old by then.
Had been going for a while.
But if you put in, did you call 5 nights a week?
Pretty well.
So you would have called 5 nights a week religiously for, and Tony was there for another 20 years. Do you reckon you were still doing that when Tony left?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
All right. So if we call that 5 times 52 times 20, and I can't do that off the top of my head right now, but that's a lot. And then add what you've been doing since then, which is less frequent, but still making an appearance.
Yes, I've slowed down quite a bit later recently, or including less than recently, I suppose. Anyway, yeah.
All right, so if someone can quickly do that sum, 5 by 52 by 20, then we'll have a starting point for what we think Brian has at least done as a caller. You could go into the lead as we start the comp, Brian. It's just unofficial.
Oh, but, I'm leaning. I've heard over time, I've heard a number of people say when they started and so on and so forth. So I might not be leading for all that long, but still, while it lasts.
Now, Lockie reckons it's 5,200. It's come out very cleanly as a sum that has 5 by 52 by 20. 5,200 as a starting point, Brian.
260.
It's an impressive number.
Yes, isn't it?
Okay. Now, our question is, US polar adventurer Anne Bancroft and Norwegian Liv Arnesen became the first women to cross Antarctica by what means? And this was in 2001.
Balloon.
No, they did not cross it with a balloon. Thanks, Brian.
Good to speak to you again, Suzanne.
And, Brian, it is a pleasure and an honour.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully.
Look after yourself.
All right. Make sure you call before the end of the year, Brian. I'd like to catch up with you again. Noel from Broadwater. You've been waiting patiently, Noel.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi. Noel, how did Anne Bancroft and Liv Arnesen get across Antarctica in 2001? Wasn't on foot and it wasn't by balloon.
I don't think it was by dog sled either, because I think they banned animals from Antarctica. So maybe snow cat?
Snow what?
Snow cat, you know, those little track guys.
Oh, right. No, it was not a snow cat.
It was not a snow cat. Good night, Suzanne.
Good night, Noel. Ian in Warimba. Hello, Ian.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Before we go, all those people with the rabbits, be careful what they wish for, because in the 50s, a bloke called Russell Braden wrote a book called The Year of the Angry Rabbit, of how they tried to wipe them out. But did they actually ski across Antarctica?
Not the rabbits, but these ladies did, yes. Well done.
Yeah that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I got one out of one. That's good.
Yeah, that's a great start, Ian. You can't ask for better than that.
No, that's right.
Question 17. The first feature-length documentary film, Nanook of the North, documented which culture?
The Inuit.
The Inuit is correct. Well done, Ian. Yeah, so this goes way back, this film. It was released in 1922. It followed an Inuk man, and it documented his life and family, including hunting for walrus and building an igloo. Question 18. Now, Ian, do you fancy yourself as someone with a bit of polar knowledge?
Not really, but I'll answer, try.
Okay. What was the name of the Australian icebreaker regularly used for Antarctic research missions between 1989 and 2020 when it was decommissioned?
The Nella Dan?
No.
Close.
It was. Okay, thanks, Ian.
Thanks.
All right,
thank you.
Good to talk to you. That was a very short run too. Oh, Maddie and Zach have arrived in St. Moritz, Switzerland. It's a warm minus two outside, and they say that snow season has begun. The answer to question 16, skis. Yes, Anne Bancroft and Liv Arnonson became the first women to cross Antarctica by ski. Shep, you have the correct answer to this one. If you want to jump in, 1-300-800-222. We are at the business end of our history quiz. Cameron in South Perth. Hello.
Evening.
Evening. Now, what was the name of the Australian icebreaker regularly used for Antarctic research missions between 1989 and 2020 when it was decommissioned?
The Hobart Explorer.
No, it's not the Hobart Explorer. I'm sorry, Cameron.
Thank you.
Okay, talk to you another time. Cheryl's got this. Who else has it? Hop on the phones. 1-300-800-222. Dougie in Queensland.
Just a moment, I'll get you off speakerphone. Hello, yes, what was the question, please?
The question is this. What was the name of the Australian icebreaker regularly used for Antarctic research missions between 1989 and 2020 when it was decommissioned?
The Aurora Australis.
Yes. The somewhere Aurora Australis is correct. Nice work.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Because I kind of like, you know, polar stuff. Yeah, that's good.
You claim to know polar stuff, Dougie. Is that what you just said?
No, I'm.
Oh, you came late.
I was in New Zealand in Dunedin when Edmund Hillary sailed from my hometown on his transantarctic trek.
Oh, wow.
And so my town and everything has been wrapped up in southern Antarctica stuff, and my home port of Dunedin and also Port Chalmers just up the line. We hosted weather ships during the International Year of Geophysics and all that sort of stuff, so I became very interested in it all.
Oh, fantastic. Right, Dougie, I'm afraid we're on the other side now. We're away from Antarctica. We're up in the other area.
Up the Arctic.
Question 19. Which fabled passage connecting the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans through the Arctic Ocean was first navigated by Roald Amundsen in 1906 after centuries of attempts to find a way through, including the disastrous Franklin Expedition of 1845?
The Northwest Passage.
The Northwest Passage is correct. Let me get a drum roll going for you. And this one is connected, the final question, to the Franklin Expedition of 1845. I just want you to name me either of the ships that became wedged in pack ice in what's now the Canadian area of Nunavut during that expedition, resulting in the deaths of 129 men and officers.
This was the Franklin Expedition?
Expedition, yep. Either of those ships.
You've got me stone cold.
Oh, no. Damn. All right, Dougie, yes. not your side of the world.
No, I'm more an Antarctic boy.
Right. Thanks so much, Dougie. Very nice to speak to you. Keith from Busselton, I know you've been waiting a while. Perhaps that will pay off for you if you can tell me either of these ships that were involved in 1845's Franklin Expedition.
Who's this? It's me.
Keith, yes, I'm asking you the final question for the win.
Look, I would not have. Could I have? I'll have to have a guess. As two ships got, I'll just say, Franklin.
No, not the Franklin. Sorry, Keith. All right, thanks so much. Shep, you've got one. Yep, Shep, you've got the second too. If you were on the phone, you'd be our winner. But the person on the phone is Jim in Como. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Do you know the name of either of these ships that were used in the Franklin Expedition of 1845?
I think it's one of the... Erebus rings a bell.
Yeah, the ships were the Erebus and the Terror. Very well done, Jim. You are our winner tonight. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.